Good morning and welcome, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to those who have joined us online. I have met people, even in Churches of Christ, whose names were in the membership directory, who didn't actually believe that the Bible was God's Word. There have been members that questioned whether or not it could be. One man said, well, I believe there are words from God in the Bible, but not everything in the Bible is really from God. Some of it was just made up by men. Today, I'd like to talk to you about inspiration. And it's the process of being mentally stimulated to think or to feel or to do something. And we speak of artists who are inspired by the world around them as they perceive it in their thoughts or their feelings. And we also speak of writers being inspired by their perceptions, their thoughts and experiences. But when it comes to the writing of the Bible, when it comes to the inspiration behind the words that are in the Bible, it is not of human origin. It's divine. God stimulated men to write His words, but those words aren't based on men's feelings or experiences. It should be thought of this way, that God is the writer of the Bible, but He used men as instruments through whom to speak and to write the actual words that are preserved for us in the pages of the Bible today. And when we read the Bible, we will be inspired to think or to feel or to act based on the way we understand what God has revealed in His Word. It's written in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And when you read those words, it wasn't some man just making that up, trying to say that what he said was really from God so people would believe him. These words were actually given to the Apostle Paul, who was writing a letter to Timothy. And today, I would like to speak to you about how this inspiration from God can inspire you to live a happier life, a more joyful life, a life with hope, a life with purpose. Some scholars of psychology would suggest that we try to, that what motivates us is the attempt to minimize pain and to maximize pleasure. But that's far too simplistic to actually explain all of the complexities of human behavior. Some people think that the force behind what they do, it can be explained from a line in a John Wayne movie when John Wayne said, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Well, whether man or woman, we all have things to do. We all have people to see and places to go. There was a mechanic down in Mangum, Oklahoma. He answered the telephone, and there was a woman that had complained that her car had stopped along the road, and she asked him to come and fix it. Well, when the mechanic got there, he checked it all out, and then he announced to the woman that her gas tank was empty. She said, do you think it'll hurt if I drive home with an empty gas tank? Well, I don't think she actually understood the way cars work. But today, I want to fill up your gas tank. I want to give you the power to go. power to grow, power to fight, power to overcome. But I can't do any of that with my inspiration or with just my own power. And the only thing that I know that can do that is beyond my power. I want to inspire you with the Word of God. So even if you can't keep your car running, or you don't think that you're very good at a lot of things, you might even be the world's biggest loser, understand that there are a lot of things that we might lose that are so unimportant compared to what we gain by giving up those things that are unimportant so that we might have something of greater value that lasts far longer. Napoleon Bonaparte lost his battle to be the ruler of all of Europe and Asia. And he was the emperor of France. And as great as he was, he recognized there was someone greater than him. And he said, "The gospel is not a book. It is a living being with an action, a power which invades everything that opposes its extension. Behold, it is upon this table, this book surpassing all others. I never omit to read it." Well, he should have read the part about not killing innocent people. But there have been other world leaders that have had a great faith in the Bible. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, said, "I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. I believe it is God's word because it finds me where I am." There are so few books that can express to you the purpose of your life and the goal that you should have in life. I hope today you can be inspired by the words that have led so many people to greater accomplishment and far greater hope than any human writing could have ever given. But there might be this question on your mind. How do we know that what is in the Bible is really from God? What is so special or so unique that the Bible has generation after generation given Christians the belief that the words in the Bible are literally God's words from heaven? Well, I would suggest to you that this question is so important that our very soul's salvation is dependent upon it. Is the Bible from God, or did men just make this up? Understand the significance of this question. Everyone that is gathered here today in search of God's truth will benefit greatly by finding the answer. And everyone who believes this book will not just be encouraged or inspired, but can attain salvation from God that would result in eternal life. If you are unconvinced about the importance of this book that we call the Bible, today I challenge you to investigate it. I challenge you to open its pages and to read it and to ponder it, to ultimately know and understand the message that this book has. And my desire for every seeker of the truth is expressed in the words written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 that says, "We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it is actually the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." That verse says that God works through his word in those who believe it. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said that this word works in us to make us want to obey God as well as to actually perform his will. And when we understand the concept of the power that is in the word of God, we can understand why the Apostle Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans chapter 1, verse 16. When we understand the power that is in the Word of God, we'll recognize how important it is to continue our diligent search of it with the intent of living according to its teachings. Don't take my word for it, though. Consider the evidence and decide for yourselves. Perhaps God will reveal to you a better way of life rather than your stumbling around in the dark, wondering where you came from or why you're here or where you're going to end up when this life is over. When it comes to inspiration, God oversaw and directed the human authors of the Bible so that they composed and recorded His word without error. It was His message to mankind, and it was critical for those words to be accurately conveyed. Inspiration is the term used to describe how the scriptures were given to us by God. Men were supernaturally guided to express exactly what God intended to reveal, and therefore the words spoken in old time by holy men of God is a word that is perfect and perfectly preserved for us today. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure." Peter was talking about the prophecies in the Old Testament. And now that Christ had come and He had fulfilled those prophecies and He had risen from the grave as a fulfillment of those prophecies, Peter could say, it is proven that those prophecies were from God and the fulfillment was the plan of God being executed. Peter said, "To which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. When we are illuminated by the word of God, it is like the darkness being taken away, the darkness that Satan had cast over us trying to prevent us from understanding the will of God. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own opinion or one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God empowered men to write, but no amount of revelation from God could help anyone unless they are illuminated by faith in His word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the faith that God has revealed that engenders faith in those who read it and accept it. And without believing that there is a God and that He is able to reveal Himself in His word to humankind, His revelation will have no impact on any human being. A lot of people have heard the word of the gospel message proclaimed, but they benefited nothing from it because they would not accept the idea either that God exists, first of all, or that what men have spoken by the will of God wasn't actually from God, but they were just speaking their own words. That's what you will read about in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." And when you're trying to figure out the us and the them, recognize that to the us is to those who believe, to Christians who obeyed the word, and those who were the them were the ones who didn't believe it. The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. God used the Holy Spirit to reveal His word to humankind, and the Holy Spirit continues to work through that revealed word today to convince and convict those who are lost. And as long as a person likes living in the sins that they're living, as long as a person likes the predisposed ideas that they have taken on, instead of allowing the Word of God to change their hearts and minds, they will continue in that spiritual blindness. And as long as we are unwilling to repent and believe the gospel, we will have no benefit from reading the Bible. It'll be just like a history book or a book of literature. Interesting, but certainly has no impact on the way that we live. Without believing there is a God and that He is able to reveal Himself to mankind, God's revealed will in the Bible will mean nothing to those who have no faith. A lot of people have heard this word, just as Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 speaks of, but they won't believe it. There was a messenger from the Lord named Paul who was given these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, beginning, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." He's talking about the words from God. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." The Holy Spirit is the power behind the message. It's not just ink on paper. It is the very words from God, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word that revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ how we should live our lives, and the hope that is laid up before us because of our faith in the Lord. These words were revealed by the Lord's messengers so that we may know the good news about Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote that he prayed for the Christians in Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 18 of the letter to the Ephesians, and he said that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You see, it's even possible for Christians to be in darkness. And one of the reasons is because they fail to search the Scriptures. They stop reading. They stop meditating on the Word. They don't engage in the study of it. They don't discuss it with other Christians. And the Apostle Paul praying that Christians would be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. If you want a stronger hope, if you want to know more about what heaven's going to be like, dig into the Word of God, and God will reveal it to you. The message of the gospel teaches us about what is to come and the wonderful things that God has prepared for His children. Let me tell you about the words given to men by God's Spirit. They are God-breathed. That's what you'll read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, except you won't read those words except in maybe one or two of the modern translations. Most of the time you'll read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration." That word inspiration is talking about the breathing out. The word inspired in the King James Version literally means breathed. And you'll read that back in the Hebrew text in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where the Scripture says, "God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The idea of God breathing isn't just a matter of words being written on paper. Things happen when God breathes out. God spoke and there was light. God spoke and the heavens and the earth were created. God spoke and his son came into the world as this little baby born to Mary. He grew up and taught men the right way to live and the hope that God has prepared for them. In the same way, all Scripture is God-breathed so that those dead, spiritually dead sinners can receive the breath of God and in the same way be regenerated, given life again. The writings that make up the Bible that God has breathed were written over a period of about 1,600 years by some 40 different writers. And they came from a variety of backgrounds, different employment, on different continents. The Bible was written in Africa and in Asia and in Europe. And what's more, this collection of books shares a common theme: the creation of man, his fall from God's grace, the redemption of God's people. And this common theme shows that God's universal love exists for his creation, and it has a common message of salvation, that God wants all men to repent, that they might be saved. And in addition to these common themes, there is one thing that's missing from the Bible, and that is the contradictions that you would read if indeed there were 40 different men writing over a period of 1,600 years on three different continents. If this was a human product with 40 different authors, you would read one contradiction after another, as one man's opinion was pitted against another, as one man's wisdom, lacking in all of its glory, would be pitted against another man who had the same failings. But because this book has no contradictions, because this book is without human flaw, then it must have been written by the inspiration of God. The entire Bible, from the book of Genesis to Revelation, bears the marks of divine inspiration. When I speak of the Bible being inspired, I refer to the fact that God influenced the human authors in such a way that they wrote exactly what he wanted to be written. Nothing more, nothing less. Now today that flies in the face of some popular religious doctrines that some man or some group of men might actually be guided by God to make decisions today that contradict what has been written in the Scripture. And there are a lot of religious organizations today that practice or preach some doctrine that is not in the Bible. And this is just a testimony that what you read in the Scripture is indeed from God. These words in Scripture were given by God himself. Moses, back in Exodus chapter 24... wrote down everything that the Lord had said. King David confessed, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue." 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Jeremiah the prophet said, "This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah and come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word." There's the pattern for inspiration in the New Testament. Repeatedly, the prophets who were given messages by God began their declarations with the same authoritative phrase, "This is what the Lord says." Now, when I stand before you today and I read these texts of Scripture, it's not my words. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with who I am, other than my being a human standing before you and speaking words that I have found in the Scripture. And as you look through the Scripture, in the book of the Judges, or in Samuel, or Isaiah, or Haggai, or Zechariah, and many other places, you'll read those same words introducing the message of God This is what the Lord says. Jesus often said that. For instance, when he was in the desert being tempted by the devil, he had fasted for 40 days. The devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus essentially said, this is what the Lord says when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The Apostle Paul said he got the words that he spoke from God too. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, when he said, "This is what we speak, not in the words taught to us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit." You can believe it when the Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This phrase places the Bible on a pedestal that is so much higher that it is incomparable with any human literature. And what the writers of the Bible wrote was expressly given to them by God. So that if you want to be motivated by something that is worth being motivated by, then I encourage you to consider the strong arguments for the Bible. What would you think if I could tell you exactly what is going to happen to you in your future? And I'm not talking about in 25 minutes. When we start leaving here and you go out to your car and you go to a restaurant or to your house or whatever, I'm talking about maybe 3 days from now, because I would have no clue about what might happen to you in 3 days. But what if I could tell you what's going to happen to you exactly on this day 3 years from now? Or how about 40 years from now? Because you will read things that were prophesied in the Bible. Not just 3 years or not just 40 years, sometimes as many as 700 years before the event actually took place. You would recognize that someone had given me a message if I could tell you that tomorrow at 12 o'clock, somebody is going to come and knock on your door and he is going to give you an envelope. And inside that envelope, I could tell you exactly what that letter would say. Because you'll read something with those kinds of details in the Bible. Not just what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen many years in the future. And the concept of God's prophetic word is a stamp of divine approval. For as God gave his prophetic word to messengers, when those prophecies were fulfilled in the New Testament, it was an indication that God had spoken. And every time God speaks, he is 100% accurate. The Old Testament was written about beginning 1450 BC, and the predictions of the future were called prophecies. Numerous predictions of the future were recorded in the pages of the Old Testament. And when those events that had been foretold happened exactly as they were predicted many years after, sometimes just a few days after, it shows that this Bible is a sacred book. And there is no other sacred book that has this kind of perfectly accurate record. As a matter of fact, you will find very few so-called sacred books that even have prophecies in them. The Bible is unique among all the books that have been written. The accurate prophecies that foretold specific events in detail, sometimes centuries before, was the fingerprint of God, showing that this was his work. Some have estimated that there have been 2,500 different prophecies in the pages of the Bible, many of which have already been fulfilled to the letter, with no errors. And of these prophecies, the most striking examples are the predictions about a coming Messiah, which in the Hebrew language literally meant anointed, but it meant the king that would be chosen by God. And in among those prophecies, among all of those prophecies, were those that said exactly where this king would be born, of visitors that would come bearing gifts, that the mother that he would be born to would have been a virgin. And about 4 BC, there was this miraculous event that took place. A boy named Jesus was born to a woman named Mary that had not known a man. And you can read the story of Jesus in Luke chapter in the book of Luke. And Jesus began fulfilling the words of those prophecies. But there is another testimony that Jesus gave to show that this book was indeed a product of God Almighty. Jesus began doing works, miraculous works, giving sight to the blind, giving the lame the ability to walk, curing those who had leprosy or other diseases, restoring hearing to the deaf, and even raising people from the dead. Why, he even took up his own life after he was crucified. Oftentimes the miracles were performed right in front of the very eyes of thousands of witnesses. And when Jesus was crucified, it was the fulfillment of another prophecy. When Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, it was the fulfillment of another prophecy. And after Jesus arose, he was seen by over 500 witnesses. And since the prophecies of Jesus were written down more than 400 years before they happened, no one should have a doubt in their mind that this book is a product of Almighty God. After Jesus rose from the grave, he took his disciples aside, and according to Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things written, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." All the words that were given to the prophets by God about Jesus coming into the world had been fulfilled. Other prophecies regarding the end of time reach into even our future, and they may be seen unfolding as the days go by. But if there is any book that can inspire you to have hope, to live a better life, to live with purpose, to have higher goals, it is the Bible. And let me tell you about the influence of this book. The Bible is very important to those who are true disciples of Jesus Christ. Being a child of God is not just about being good. It's about being saved, escaping hell, following the way that Jesus has led that will lead to life everlasting in heaven. Faith in the Word of God leads us to a strong desire to understand Scripture and to follow the teachings of Jesus. And when the Word of God is mixed with faith in your heart, your eyes will be opened to discern the truth in the Bible. And then your body will be inspired to action and your mouth prepared to speak that same message of salvation to others. And when you understand the value of these words that have been given to us by God to live by, none of us will be able to live any longer or even exist without them. Our spiritual longing makes the Bible essential in our lives. Even as Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God." So I propose to you that it is impossible for you to live without God's word. Now, someone might be thinking, "I don't have to listen to God to be alive. Atheists are alive. They don't believe the Bible. They don't even believe there's a God. And they're still alive." Listen, God spoke the world into existence. God established the natural laws in the creation so that one generation begets another. And if it wasn't for the Word of God, none of us would be here. But I would suggest to you that in these words you will find inspiration not just to be, but to be what God wants you to be. And just as we have a beginning because of the natural laws that God has established, there is also going to be a change that will take place for every human being alive. There is a spirit that is given to each of us, to each and every person, and it continues living even when this change takes place. For this body will be cast aside, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Every one of us will someday experience this change, and we will go to meet our Maker and to give an account of the deeds done in the body. What will you say when you're about your life, when you stand before God to give an account? I hope that none of us will say, "Well, I didn't believe then, but I sure do now." Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But for all who had rejected the truth while alive in this body on earth, it will be too late then. Now is the time to listen to God as He tells everyone to repent and believe the gospel. Acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and obey His teachings. For lost sinners, Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Have you done that? Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? If you haven't been, the water is ready. Reach out to me and I will help you find your way to salvation. But if you've been baptized and there is sin in your life, the Bible teaches you to leave it behind, confess your sins to God and pray for His forgiveness, and He will restore you to your former state. He will also give you strength through His word to overcome this world through faith in His Son. And that's the message for today. And if there's anyone subject to the call of the gospel, make your desires known while we stand and while we sing.